2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's almost time for BYU football. This is a one-hour preseason special brought to you by Economics Partners. Live from Las Vegas, here's Alex Carey and Mitch Harper on Utah's legacy home for the Cougars. KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. Yes, we are in Las Vegas live here in Sin City to watch BYU and Arizona. And we are so excited to bring you our special brought to you by Economics Partners. And we, Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You're going to get a full weekend, a barrage of BYU for the entire weekend. That was a very Greg Rubel-esque alliteration there, Mitch. But I am absolutely over the moon excited about this season for BYU because you're going to have an NFL venue tomorrow night here in Vegas. You're going to have a Pac-12 team and a BYU team that is a double-digit favorite going into this game. I am beyond excited for this football season to start.
It's a special time for BYU right now, and they're coming off an 11-win season, and there's so many good vibes about BYU football. Kalani Sitake gets a contract extension. There's so much to like about this program, and now it's time to play it out on the field and see what they can do and the follow-up act to what was such a magical season. And then, oh, by the way, we get fans back in the stands. The pandemic is still prevalent, but still getting a capacity crowd close to at Allegiant Stadium is going to be a special sight. I cannot wait, Alex. There's so much to be excited about right now.
Rolling in this morning, driving past the stadium on our way over here to do the show at you guys' hotel, I'm talking with the driver. I said, "Hey, tell me about that stadium." He goes, "It is so ugly." And I said, "Come on, man." He goes, "Yeah, it's just big black stadium." And I said, "Look, this is an amazing sight in the middle of the desert, and to have BYU start things off as the first full collegiate game at that stadium with fans, it's going to be a pretty special thing." Arizona, massive question marks for them. New head coach Jed Fish, a lot of new everything for them in a 12-game losing streak to go on top of it. It's a great way, I think, for Kalani to be like, "Hey, let's go into this extension with all the momentum that we can here." But being in Vegas for the start of the season, super exciting. And the game isn't even maybe the biggest news of all, Mitch Harper. Not even close. When you really talk about BYU right now, and last night and all week, we've been talking about some of the possibilities for BYU to get into a conference. Not just a conference, but what is going to be left of the fractured Big 12 going forward with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. And the news is all the sources are pointing to the fact that not just BYU being a part of the discussion, but leading out as one of the teams who will likely get an invite to the Big 12. Mitch, please explain to me how that would work, what a timeline could look like if BYU were to go into that. Independence, for as insane as it's been, would actually be helpful for them to be able to get into the Big 12 right now. Is it as close of a possibility as all the national writers are saying? What are we hearing about BYU in the Big 12?
It's definitely a possibility, Alex, and this could happen as soon as this month. Reports are out there from Brett McMurphy at the Action Network that this could go down this month, where BYU, invited to the Big 12 Conference as a full member, not just football, men's basketball, wow, women's basketball, the whole deal. And BYU would be in a Power 5 conference. That could potentially happen this month. The momentum is there for BYU. I just got off the phone and had an interview. You can hear it on the Cougar Tracks podcast on KSLSports.com. Brett McMurphy said the challenge now for BYU is Tom Holmo, and if they can figure out a way to kind of recreate their schedules and move things around for next year, they could be in the Big 12 Conference next year.
We're not talking about 2024, 2025.
No, they could be next year in the same conference with Texas and Oklahoma before they leave for the SEC. Like, Texas, this is a special opportunity in the front of BYU right now.
Texas and Oklahoma have to stay in the conference until when? That 2024, 2025
season? Yeah, 2025.
Season. And this is – I mean, to think that the Big 12 – for all of the things that you may look at it and say, well, it's dead, at least for the next handful of years, if Oklahoma and Texas are there, if BYU gets an invite to that thing and ends up possibly going next year into that conference, I want BYU fans to imagine all of those feelings in your heart that you've had of vitriol and questioning, independence. Mitch, this has been – independence has been – I mean, this weird love-hate relationship with independence. Last year, it worked out perfectly for Tom Holmo. Tom Holmo himself, if he's able to put BYU into the Big 12 after the year that he had last year as an athletic director, this is a guy that 2 years ago we went, what is his vision exactly? We don't know what direction BYU is going in because they say they don't want to have independence forever, and yet here they are, and there was no end in sight. What changed so quickly for BYU to be at the front of that discussion? Is it just the money situation?
The money is a big part, but I think also the Big 12 Conference, let's call it what it is, they're in desperation mode. They want to survive. The Pac-12, they're not coming the Big 12's way. The ACC is not coming. The Big 10's not coming, and the SEC doesn't need the leftovers in the Big 12. They're desperate. They want to stay together because you can't just have an 8-team conference because then you're only playing 5 conference games, 5 or 6, right, give or take. You're basically an independent at that point. They'd be doing what like Notre Dame and BYU to a lesser extent does. So they needed to add members. So BYU, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati are viewed as the favorites to go to the Big 12 Conference.
Why not a Boise State in that conversation?
Well, I think the thing is that they're being broken up. There's like 8 programs that were considered for the Big 12. Shortly after the Big 12 and Pac-12 had their meeting, the two commissioners, and there was talks about, oh, maybe the Big 12 and Pac-12 will align and form a merger. I think after those conversations, the Big 12 realized they got to band together and strengthen their own league. So I think 8 programs became the talking point. And it's interesting. Cincinnati was kind of paired with Memphis. BYU was paired with Boise. UCF was paired with USF. Houston was paired with SMU. Which out of those pods or pairs were the better one? BYU, a better brand, a better revenue generator than a Boise State. And I think that they want to capitalize the Big 12 on all TV time zones. Now they can go into the Pac-12's time zone with BYU and say, we can own that space because BYU catches eyeballs. And I believe this, Alex. You put the BYU program into a power conference, this fan base will be as passionate as they've ever been. Like, we see it all the time. Like, on the weekends, you were part of Cougar Sports Saturday. I hosted every week with Matt Biamonte. There is a diehard fan base that cares when BYU plays UMass, when they play New Mexico State. Now you inject that excitement and that passion into a league where you are playing at the highest levels, a dream that BYU has always had. And you think about this, too, Alex. BYU, all of the leagues that they've ever been in, the WAC, the Mountain West, they always created those leagues. They have never been invited. They've never gotten the validation from a conference like, we want you. This would be an ultimate just moment for BYU athletics to be in that league. And I know that the Big 12 has taken some hits, but it would be massive for BYU on so many fronts, and the on-field play would be top-notch.
Boy, what a way to start the show off, huh? We're talking about this. We're in Vegas for BYU versus Arizona.
Amazing times.
And it might not even be the biggest storyline. The reality is that with Kalani having that extension this week to that contract, and to think about the possibility of BYU as early as next year going into the Big 12, that's an insane thing to think. Mitch, my heart hurts, man, for all the times I've been emotionally hurt by rumors on the internet about BYU joining conferences, and not just that, it's the stuff that people say after they go, here's why BYU won't get into a conference. Thanks, Pac-12.
We're not really a research institution. Oh, BYU. Sunday play is important to us here in the Pac-12.
It comes down to money, Alex. And if you can generate more money, those issues suddenly go by the wayside. And that's what I think is the big driver here for BYU. And like you said, independence has put them in a position where they are a lot more attractive. And I don't think it hurts, too, that they're coming off a football season where they were 11-1. Like, you look at all of the realignment moves over the years. Utah goes to the Pac-12. Fresh off of a BCS appearance, two of them. TCU goes to the Big 12, fresh off a Rose Bowl. Like, it didn't hurt that BYU put together a magical season and showed, hey, we can play at a high level. We can get guys to the NFL. The number two overall pick, a face of the NFL, was from our program. You inherit us. We're going to elevate this thing to higher levels that maybe, and maybe it can be a more collaborative effort in the Big 12 where BYU is a willing partner and they're ready to rewrite some stereotypes.
Let's take our first break here. Our special, of course, down here in Las Vegas, our live preseason special. BYU taking on Arizona tomorrow here, not too far from us, probably a mile and a half from the stadium we are here in Las Vegas, and we'll be there at Allegiant Stadium tomorrow night as BYU takes on Arizona. When we return, we've got more to talk about with the possibility of expansion that might be. And tell me if this is hyperbole, Mitch. If the BYU is invited to join the Big 12 and they do it and they do it in all sports, that would maybe be the most important athletics news out of BYU, maybe in its history. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that. It is our preseason special with BYU versus Arizona, brought to you by Economics Partners, one of the nation's premier business valuation and strategic advisory firms. We'll be right back. More to go. More expansion talk. We will break down BYU Arizona. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio.
Hi, guys. BYU preseason special, live from Las Vegas.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. We are in Las Vegas. Alex Keery, BYU insider, Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. All weekend long, you're going to be able to get the breakdown. The KSL sports team, the KSL News Radio team, all down here representing here in Las Vegas. Mitch is next to me here, Dallin, our producer, hooking things up and getting us going here. Guess what? We've got this show right now, our special that's going to last all the way to 1 o'clock for you guys there in Utah. And then tonight, KSL's Unrivaled, broadcasting live from the Fan Fest as well. So I think that this is going to be one of the more interesting fan fests of all time, Scott, when I think about it. By the way, our special brought to you by Economics Partners. And if you all weekend long, all of our shows are brought to you by Economics Partners, and so we appreciate them being on board with us. And I just am – tonight, Fan Fest is going to be absurd with the amount of buzz, not about this game that's going on tomorrow night, but the possibility of BYU joining the Big 12. I mean – nothing happens until it actually happens. No invites happen until they actually do happen. And certainly BYU would keep very mum on this stuff if it were to be happening. But if this were to happen, I asked you before the break, Mitch, what would this compare in terms of news or big happenings in BYU athletics in its existence at BYU? You talked about how next year is the 100th year of BYU football. What an amazing time if BYU were to enter the Big 12 being the 100th year of their football program.
Yeah, it would be the biggest milestone, the biggest. It'd be bigger than the national championship.
Sure.
It would be the biggest deal BYU athletics has ever experienced, because, again, you're now suddenly talking about BYU from the on-field perspective being in a power conference for a few years potentially with Texas and Oklahoma, and then just also, too, BYU will have some alliances with people. Like, 'cause right now with independence, you wonder – you know, who are the partners that BYU would go to bat? Who's like the voice at the table that says, we need BYU? Or who, like, you know, last year we saw it clearly, you know, the college football playoff New Year's Six. Everyone's saying, well, BYU hasn't played anyone. Well, why don't you schedule them on a moment's notice and give them a chance to play? No one went to bat for them. They just wanted to knock them down. And you go look forward to the future of college athletics and try to envision what this next wave is going to look like for the sport as so many changes are happening from name, image, and likeness, and conference realignment. I feel like a big piece to college athletics is going to be alliances. The Pac-10, the Big 12, ACC aligned together. Texas and Oklahoma aligned together. BYU needed an alliance with something, and you hope that this Big 12 happens, because I think it would be great for BYU as a brand, for the mission of the school, to be aligned with some state universities that have had success at a national scale. Not just these schools like a Colorado State, or like back in the day of the WAC, like schools that have had, that you know who their brands are, you know Kansas Jayhawks, you know the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Like, I just think it would do wonders of good, world of good for BYU to be in that setting and to still achieve their goals of playing coast to coast and showing off their brand of their national following. It would be a massive deal, Alex, that just it can't be understated.
Something at BYU's probably the biggest lament in independence for me has always been, what on earth are you playing for?
Yeah.
Because in a year like this year, for example, where BYU's set up, they already have their bowl tie-in, and so that's a set deal, and that's kind of sad where you go, I guess we'll see at the Independence or Liberty Bowl. I
can't Independence. Remember.
Independence Bowl.
Shreveport, Louisiana,
no,
baby.
Sorry. Yes, we will be so
the
excited.
The Vegas of the South. Well, that's Nashville.
Nobody calls it that.
That's Nashville, I think. Shreveport, baby.
All the while. During independence, BYU's not been able to win anything in a conference in football.
Yep.
And that's just been such a huge deal. If you win a conference, if you're able to hang, you know, that banner up or to be able to put that on the sheet of conference titles that you're able to own, a conference title, even in a Big 12 that is much different from the Big 12 that I grew up with. By the way, historically, the Big 12 is not that old either. And so, you know, I grew up watching those SWAT games, you know, when we lived in Texas and, like, watching all these teams play against each other. The Big 12 was an amazing conglomerate when it came together. And Texas and Oklahoma leaving, massive hit to that conference. If you're able to take away those two teams, add four teams, and the possibility of Cincinnati – UCF, BYU, and Houston, which I think would be, again, Houston has a weird relationship with the Big 12, too. They haven't necessarily gotten along, but that's a massive market, and that's exactly what they have to go to now. You have to think that with all those things, a conference championship possibility, and if you win a conference championship, then you're in the discussion of certainly whatever the new version of the college football playoff would be going forward as well. And how about retaining a guy like Mark Pope, who we wondered if he was going to be able to stick around. This is the big program now. If BYU gets invited to the Big 12 and that happens, they're playing against some of the toughest teams in the country in basketball suddenly.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Tom Homo was asked by someone at Education Week, said, how are you going to keep Mark Pope here at BYU? And Tom was like, well, I love that kid. I'm thinking he's not a kid. He's a grown man. He's bald.
6'11".
He's 6'11", NBA player, national champion. Anyway, but he said, you know, like if he – one day goes to Duke, you know, we'll be so happy for him. But I'm thinking, you know, why go to a Duke or a Kentucky where you can be in a league that's maybe the best basketball conference, that has a defending national champion, has one of the best basketball brands in Kansas? And I think that's an interesting development in these Big 12 expansion talks, Alex, is that basketball actually is playing some sort of role here.
Yeah.
Brett McMurphy reported today that basketball has played a piece to the conversation, and that's what's maybe helped BYU too.
How is Kansas? Some of the reports have been that Kansas is kind of sticking up for BYU on the basketball side of things. That partnership seems interesting to them. Why on earth is that suddenly interesting to them?
Yeah, I think because BYU is a good basketball program. I think BYU, you know, with BYU's history, where you're talking about the most NCAA tournament appearances without a Final Four. I know that's not the greatest label that BYU wants, but it means that they're always in the mix. They're always in the conversation. They're putting together a program that has, you know, 20, 22 wins at least on average or a year. I mean, the last 15, 16 years, BYU has been a very good basketball product. And I think Kansas is looking at, hey, we just lost Texas. We lost Oklahoma. Not incredible basketball brands, but still quality programs that have had the likes of Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Trey Young. They've had great players go through those schools. You got to replace that somehow, some way, and BYU's a good basketball product. Same with Cincinnati as well. So I think that I found that interesting that has played a little bit bigger role than we thought, because football moves the conversation. Like our radio shows, football, we can talk about quarterback battles
all
any
day.
Time of the year.
Yeah.
It's like that's what people care about. But basketball will get elevated to where people are going to care. The WCC, yeah, they love the Gonzaga game, sure. But this is where every single night you're going to care about seeing BYU play some high-level competition.
Do you remember the old Twilight Zone? Imagine if you will.
Yes.
Well, imagine if you will, BYU fans, the possibility in the future of Kansas coming to the Marriott Center once
wow.
a year in that same season, maybe even just the short term, Oklahoma comes to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And then you travel down to Royal K Stadium down there in Texas and watch BYU versus Texas again. By the way, BYU leads that all-time series 4-1.
And you know the Big 12 the schedule makers in that league will make life terrible for Oklahoma and Texas. They'll say,
"Oh,
you're going to Cincinnati, baby. You're going to the bounce house. Like, you're going to all those teams' venues, and they're going to have a great chance to knock you off potentially. Like, you know they're going to do that to them. They'll throw it on a Thursday night, quick turnaround, 3 days rest. Like, I don't care. You're going to go to Provo on a short night's rest, bud."
Absolutely. All
right. You thought Bishop Sycamore had it tough? You're going to have it even tougher.
Oh, Bishop Sycamore. Maybe they get an invite to the Big 12, the new Big 12. I mean, they're looking for people,
hey,
you know. All right,
the charter school.
We are jumping out here to news, traffic, and weather. The pregame special here, the preseason special, BYU versus Arizona, live from Las Vegas. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, brought to you by Economics Partners, one of the nation's premier business valuation and strategic advisory firms. We're going to be right back. We're going to break down some Arizona, BYU. Enough of this conference talk. I'm so over the conference. Alignments and expansion. I'm already over it, Mitch. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL News Radio. Stay right here with us live from Las Vegas. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery.
It's almost time for BYU football. This is a one-hour preseason special brought to you by Economics Partners. Live from Las Vegas, here's Alex Keery and Mitch Harper on Utah's legacy home for the Cougars. KSL News Radio.
Hey, you heard that right? Live in Las Vegas, Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, breaking down BYU football on this Cougar kickoff special. The 2021 football season almost here. Kickoff tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. here on KSL, and we'll have you covered. We're going to be at FanFest tonight. We're going to have Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow. So much BYU talk this weekend. It's exciting time of the year. We broke down all the Big 12 expansion. Let's actually get to some real football talk, Alex. BYU and Arizona, this matchup, I think it's an intriguing one with all the unique possibilities with Arizona with their new staff. There's so much unknowns with the Wildcats, but BYU, they've got some unknowns as well. And the biggest known, though, is they do know where the quarterback is going to be, and that's Jaren Hall.
Yeah, and it's been pretty interesting to see kind of how the whole thing played out with trying to figure out who the starter was. And now that Jaren joins us on the Players Club every week, too, we're really excited to have that. And one of the things that
and we were the only station that had him, like BYU media availability, like it only heard from us.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what's interesting too is that I think he's also just chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Because you've been named the starter. You can't wait to actually prove why you won that starting job. We asked him this week on the Players Club about the things that he got to watch last year during that 11-1 season. And at the beginning of the season, we didn't even know if it was going to be Zach Wilson who was going to be the starter. But Jaren talked to us a little bit. Take a listen to what he said about what he learned from Zach Wilson.
I'd say to be the most prepared guy in the field. I think that was Zach in a nutshell all year round, whether it was off season, he's watching film, talking about games like we're in the season, or it's in the middle of the fall during the season. So, it was a crazy year coming into COVID and not knowing what's happening. But I'd say for him, he was the most prepared guy, come that first game in Navy. I'm sure his mindset all summer long was that we were going to play. And sure enough, when the game one comes around, he shows out and continues to do so the next 11, 12 weeks. So, yeah, for me, watching him and his breakout year last year was just to be prepared and to always stay locked in, and that's something Zach, I felt like, carried with him everywhere he went.
Interesting, too. I mean, now you just follow that pattern, Mitch, and he started to. Picks up John Beck as his new quarterback coach, right? He's going to make that trip down to California, and everybody's going to want to ask him all those questions. He's going to be the most.
He's not driving, though. He makes that clear. He's flying.
I'm flying down.
He's not going to drive.
Make the drive. It's too dangerous. So, so far, and in camp, the limited amount of reps we've been able to watch from him, what made him and they kind of made it clear that he was the obvious choice for that starting quarterback position. It wasn't necessarily as, close as we may have seen, maybe even with the Cam Rising and Charlie Brewer situation up at Utah.
He's got the biggest arm in the quarterback room, and then you add that element that he is a dual-threat quarterback. I think that was kind of underrated with Zach Wilson last year, that Zach was a guy that could run out of the pocket and create a play and improvise if needed. But Hall has a rocket of an arm. It's legit. You can see the impact that John Beck has had working down at 3D QB. Because I remember my conversations with Zach throughout his BYU career, and he talked to me about how John Beck focused so much on velocity and getting that speed, the accuracy and the deep ball. Those were traits that John Beck had when he was a quarterback, and you saw that in the limited windows that we had in fall camp with Jaren Hall. And then you get this insight of how he had the best completion rate. He made the fewest mistakes, and those are just all pieces to what were synonymous with BYU's offense last season. And if you want to maintain that high level of offensive firepower that BYU experienced last year, Jaren Hall was the best bet for that. Baylor Romney is a great backup to have. He might be one of the best backup quarterbacks in the country. I mean, he's a cool, calm, collected customer at that quarterback spot. But if you want maybe the next NFL QB, that big-time explosive playmaker, it had to be Jaren Hall right now in 2021.
We also asked him on the Players Club this week. Jaren Hall joins us every Monday and throughout the rest of the season. So I'm interested to see how he reacts to his first start. We'll be able to break that down this week, this coming week. Here's what he had to say about, I mean, this is a whole new season starting up. Fans' hopes are always high at the beginning of a season. Certainly with the amount of talent at the wide receiver and in the running back room, you already have those skill spots figured out. And so if Jaren Hall is a really good quarterback right off the bat, he will be one of many of a long line of BYU quarterbacks in the history. He talked about that rich history of BYU quarterbacks last Monday.
Yeah, every day. You know, you have pictures in the hallways of the meeting rooms. You have, you know, big blow-up posters on the walls of QBs from the past. So every day I'm reminded of it. But, you know, I try not to let that, you know, overwhelm me. You're thinking their shoes to be filled, because at the end of the day it's kind of my story and in my path. So I'm, you know, kind of do my thing. But, you know, just remember that BYU is a school known for the quarterbacks. And, you know, if you simply put your time in, the good things will happen. I think that's the case for all the quarterbacks who have come through and being successful. So, again, just being prepared. But it's an honor, you know, to walk in those guys' footsteps in a way and to kind of continue on that path.
I forgot we were playing some music behind there. I almost started dancing there, Mitch.
I was getting a funky vibe.
Amazing.
There.
This is a guy who he knows. What I love is that was a very Zach Wilson answer too,
yeah.
Right? Where it's like, great, yeah, Heisman Trophy up in the hallway. We see it. We see it in those trophy cases. We see all the stuff that these guys are doing, and I know what we're kind of seeing here. And look. Jaren's dad played at BYU. He's not unfamiliar with exactly what BYU is known for over the years. And so to have him say that we love all those guys, but guess what? I'm doing my thing, and I think I can be pretty dang special.
And I think BYU fans love it when they have a quarterback that respects the history of that position. You know, I just think that I think Cougar fans love when guys just – respect that, because it is it's a fraternity that's special in college football. And, you know, guys like Steve Young this summer were on Cougar Sports Saturday, and he's like, whoever that quarterback's going to be is going to walk into an offense that has incredible skill position talent, but also a support system of incredible quarterback minds that can help lift them and give them pointers when they're down, when they're feeling, having some questions about their abilities in games, because Jaren Hall has never finished a complete game yet as a starter. Like,
right.
He has never completed an entire game. Hopefully he stays healthy, because I think this guy has incredible ability and a lot of talent that in these small doses that we've seen, he is a dynamic player that could keep BYU's offense churning at the levels that they saw last season.
All right, we're going to take another break. Our last break here on our hour-long special. It's just going to kick the whole weekend off here. I'm going to quiz Mitch about the Arizona depth chart. No, although he would know. He really would know. So we're going to come back and talk about what the Cougars are facing in the Wildcats this weekend. Jed Fish's team that he inherited on a 12-game losing streak. Can he snap it against BYU? Be quite a shock to everybody else here in Vegas who have the Cougars as a 12.5-point favorite. We're going to come right back. More to go as we wrap up our hour-long special here to kick off a full weekend of BYU football coverage right here on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
A BYU preseason special live from Las Vegas.
All right, welcome back. It is our preseason special. BYU versus Arizona this weekend. I'm Alex Keery. He is Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. Please go over to KSL.com or KSLSports.com and give a read to Mitch Harper right now. If you want to get the latest on where BYU is on the possibility of the Big 12 expansion rumors, the place to go is to follow Mitch, find the stories that he's been writing up, but also follow him on Twitter, because if it happens for BYU, Mitch is going to be one of the first people to write it up. So we're so excited to be down here in Las Vegas. All weekend long, our shows are brought to you by Economics Partners, one of the nation's premier business valuation and strategic advisory firms. Mitch, our last segment here, let's talk about the actual football game. BYU is almost a 2-touchdown favorite in this game. Do they deserve that 12.5 point favorite going into this game? Because we just don't know a lot about Arizona. It's still a Pac-12 team. They have a lot to learn. They're going to start two quarterbacks tomorrow. I mean, they're going to rotate through two quarterbacks tomorrow. They've said it. Jed Fish said he's going to do it. What can BYU expect from this Wildcat team?
BYU deserves to be a double-digit favorite. You know, Arizona's, I think, one of the worst Power 5 teams in college football this year. This is a teardown rebuild. I mean, you're talking about a team that in their last game lost 70-7. Now, I know there's a new coaching staff.
To a COVID-stricken, Arizona State team last year.
Yeah, that was committing all these inappropriate visitations and NCAA investigations. Yeah, 70-7, they lost. Now, Arizona offensively, I think, is going to be a mess. I think BYU defensively should win at the line of scrimmage, set the edge with Tyler Batty. Like, I feel like Arizona's offense, to me, doesn't pose many threats. They got some decent wide receivers. Stanley Berry Hill's a guy to keep an eye on. He actually was in that game 3 years ago in Tucson. But defensively is where I think I have the questions. What will Arizona do to disguise, maybe mask some of those blitzes? They have a defensive coordinator named Dr. Blitz and Don Brown. They've got a good secondary. They've got a lot of transfers into that defense. Jaron even noted the infusion of new faces into their personnel, so that creates the opportunity to kind of really just have a blank canvas in terms of what they're going to do. I think defensively is where I have the questions, like what is Arizona going to look like? But I think BYU's offense has enough firepower with Tyler Algier, with Gunnar Romney, Neil Powell, and Puka Nacua, that whatever Arizona throws at them, pick your poison, Arizona, because BYU has the firepower to be explosive against that defense.
You're going to see a massive blitz tomorrow, like you said, maybe a lot of pressure coming up. They love to, you know, jump over that wall, as it were. So, I mean, you could also see Lopini Katoa catching some screen passes all night, man. I mean, this is going to be an active backfield, because BYU's just going to – that's the part that's going to be interesting for me is – what is Jaron Hall going to see? What adjustments are they going to make in terms of reads? Because you don't want to just go with the one thing if they've got pressure coming. And so what is it going to be that Jaron Hall does? What's it going to be that Aaron Roderick does to dial up something to be successful against that Arizona defense? I don't even know. I mean, in the end, we don't know what Arizona is except for a team that's got a lot to figure out still. But BYU has some stuff to figure out, too. The biggest position, maybe not the biggest position group besides quarterback that people are wondering about, the defensive line. You think about all the guys that got replaced last year, including Kyrus Tonga, who goes into Chicago Bear country and suddenly becomes like a guy getting rotations at the one, makes a 53-man roster easy. I mean, that guy is going to be very hard to replace inside. You mentioned Tyler Batty off of the edge, but what is BYU doing on that defensive line? What are they going to be able to prove this year, or who's going to be the surprise person that really plugs up that middle for BYU?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Alex, I think this defensive line is going to be better this year. And
really?
I feel like the depth is better. Over fall, the course of fall camp, I like you, I had a lot of questions going in to camp about that D-line. But the buzz I heard from people around the program was that they feel like that is the strength of the defense, and no one's talking about it right now. Tyler Batty, Uriah Leotau, he's been a name that's been around since the days Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach. He's finally healthy. Atu Naisamahe is going to be the guy that replaces Kyrus Tonga. He's like a beast in the weight room in terms of pushing weight. Now the catch with him is, will he be someone that can push around opposing offensive linemen? But he played in 40% of the snaps 2 years ago on a defensive line that featured Kyrus Tonga right. 2 seasons ago. So there's a lot of experience there, and I feel like the addition of Preston Hadley being the defensive end coach and focusing solely on that group, keep an eye on a guy in Pepe Tanovasa, Navy transfer. He might be one of the better pass rushers. Earl Tuioti Mariner in the interior. He's also one of their best interior guys that can get to the quarterback and inside the line. So I like the personnel. I think it's just a case of, Alex, like, we've seen this BYU defense so many times with Tuiaki that they drop back 8. And I know that's kind of becoming more of a base defense in college football, but, can they actually get to the quarterback? Can they actually make that happen? Because I feel like if BYU's defensive line gets to these two quarterback platoon system from Arizona, it's going to be a long night for the Wildcats.
I think about that BYU team in 2019 that struggled quite often to put up points, you know, against, I mean, you think about the Tennessee win and then you think about the USC win the week after that. And then just to have that three-game losing streak against South Florida, Toledo, and Washington in a row where Zach Wilson was having a hard time putting up points. And the BYU offense was not really they weren't blasted. I think about that, scoring 3 points against San Diego State, and I go, man, think about how far Zach Wilson came from that game. And now I think, okay, what kind of an expectation does this team have offensively? Bronco famously was always like, we just want to score more points than our opponent. And you're like, we get that. That's how you win football games. But it was like, if we get to 24 points, we will defeat anybody. And they wanted those 24 to 16 games. I'm like, BYU offenses need to score 35 points or more a game. And that's what they did last year. Any way that they can have that happen against the schedule that they have this year where they can still be four or five touchdowns a game?
I think so. I think they're going to be a top 25 scoring offense this year. That's one of my bold predictions for this team, is that they are in the top 25 in scoring. They follow up the season a year ago with another quality offense. Just again, because I like the personnel so much. I just feel like the receivers with Puka Nacua, Gunnar Romney, Neil Pau, and then Samson Nacua, too. You can also go into Keanu Hill, who's the nephew to former Dallas Cowboy Roy Williams, Texas Longhorn great. The offensive line, I think the starters are good. I don't think they're great. I think that they're not going to be one of those top units in college football like they were last year. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I feel like if they can come together and avoid those catastrophic disaster games like 2 years ago in South Florida where they gave up 12 tackles for loss, like avoid that, I feel like this offensive line will be good enough to have success and create time for Jaren Hall to stay upright and to allow him the time to get the ball in the hands of all these playmakers.
So you've got the possibility of seeing a lot of points scored on the offensive side of things. Who's going to be – I know that Neil Pau is – I mean, now it's kind of no secret that he had one of the best camps, if not the best camp of anybody. But I want to know what impact some of these transfers are going to have. Is Puka Nacua, is he that wide receiver one, or is that still Gunnar Romney's deal until Puka kind of takes it away? And is Samson, I think people just imagine Puka Nacua and Samson Nacua getting a ton of playing time, but Puka's really the guy out of that pairing.
Well, and you look at what Jed Fish said this week, he pointed out they added some guys that can be explosive. Like that's Puka Nacua. That's who he was talking about indirectly. Like, he's on the scouting report for Arizona coaches. One, because he's a former Pac-12 player at Washington. But yeah, Puka to me is the guy that with the highest potential. He's wide receiver number one. If he's completely healthy, he's that best receiver. And I think, you know, for a guy like Neil Pau, he got a lot of praise in fall camp. I do want to see it, because I think Arizona, they're going to play a ton of man press. They're going to give some challenges to these wide receivers. So, great opportunity. This is a great stage for BYU at Allegiant Stadium. Rocking crowd. Cannot wait to see all these Cougar fans in here in Vegas.
Fan Fest tonight. That's where we're going to be. Mitch, would you just stop it with all this expansion talk? You're going to ruin it, man.
Inject it in the veins. A blood bank guarantee.
Mitch is so excited. So are we to have you guys here with us all weekend long. BYU football versus Arizona. The possibility of conference expansion. Maybe even an invite for BYU to the Big 12 looming in the next while. Who knows when that would be. We're very, very excited to bring it up. We appreciate Economics Partners for partnering with us this weekend while we're down here in Las Vegas. Do not miss our live edition from Las Vegas here at FanFest tonight of KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell is going to be in the house. Yes, can we convince him to wear some blue tonight at the FanFest? We'll see. We'll be joining you tonight. So for Mitch Harper, thanks to Dallin, Gustavo, hitting all the buttons back at the station in Salt Lake. From Las Vegas, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you next time, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.